SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
In this bulletin, Indigenous youth leaders in Alice Springs speak about ways forward after the latest curfew. Senator says the increased domestic violence service funding is welcome but comes too late. And Russia claims it was not behind the fatal attack on Kyiv's main children's hospital. An Indigenous leader in Alice Springs say authorities moved too quickly to implement a curfew instead of taking other steps. A three-night curfew is placed until this Wednesday, affecting children and adults. The Northern Territory Police Commissioner Michael Murphy says it is a response to violent incidents, including an alleged assault of four off-duty police officers. It comes less than 3 months after a three-week youth curfew. Arante man William Tilmouth has told NITV he's yet to see the impact of the federal government's $250 million funding announced in May to address social dysfunction in Alice Springs. He says it is important that solutions are found that involve the local First Nations community.
A lot of the local children and the local people have been handicapped by the behaviours of others, and I suspect from who I've talked to that our children and our people weren't involved. It's out in the country, and people do come in, and they do come in for show weekends and fireworks. It's attracted them in, and that behaviour happens. The answer is to give us the money to try the best we can and preempt situations like that from happening.
The Federal Minister for Indigenous Australians, Linda Burney, says the government is committed to a truth-telling commission. The failure of the Voice to Parliament referendum last year was seen as a major blow to the cause. But Ms. Burney has told the ABC truth-telling is not just a government issue, and communities right across the country are taking up the issue in a variety of ways. In Nido Creek, Ms. Burney says she doesn't feel Indigenous affairs is a bipartisan issue, saying the coalition are spoilers for refusing to support the Voice to Parliament. However, she says the fact millions of Australians did not vote for the Voice to Parliament, the emergence of young Indigenous leaders and the attention on Indigenous disadvantage were all silver linings to the referendum's failure. Federal Social Services Minister Amanda Risworth says the federal government stands by the decision to abolish the so-called cashless debit cards, even after the mixed findings in a newly released review by the University of Adelaide. The policy was first introduced by the coalition government in 2016 to reduce social harm at a number of sites around the country, affecting a number of Indigenous communities. The card guarantees 80% of a person's welfare payments onto a debit card that cannot be used to withdraw cash or buy alcohol or gambling products. A review by the University of Adelaide noted mixed reactions to the scheme's end, with most past participants believing the program's end was a positive step. A small number of past participants says the scheme's end had led to poor decision-making and financial coercion. Minister Risworth says the report needs to be read carefully.
What I would point you to in the report is that it was clear that no causal link could be drawn as a result of the changes that we made from removing the compulsory cashless debit card that didn't help people actually manage their money. So what we moved to was a voluntary income management program. We will continue to work with communities around what actually makes a difference.
People escaping domestic violence will soon have access to 720 new safe spaces as the federal government announces new funding, but some say the funding is too little and too late. The announcement comes following another recent spate of domestic violence deaths, including the violent murder of a 21-year-old Sydney woman this week. The new projects are expected to focus on improving access and inclusion for First Nations women and children, people living with disability, and others facing barriers to support. National Senator Bridget McKenzie told Channel 9's Today show that frontline services still need more funding.
I think, you know, we've said enough is enough, and it really is. The government said we would have 500 frontline workers in place last June. And here we are, we haven't even got a quarter of them across the country. Mm. You know, now they're announcing 720 crisis centres needing to be built. Well, we needed this a year ago, and I think everybody wants the government to succeed in this space because enough is enough.
Australia's second largest bank, Westpac, says the Privacy Act is preventing the bank from more effectively dealing with cases of financial abuse. A parliamentary inquiry is looking at the effectiveness of existing regulations and the role that banks can play in identifying and preventing various forms of financial abuse. Westpac's General Manager of Customer Solutions, Lisa Pogonoski, says there is a robust framework that allows banks to deal with scams, but that has not been carried across to deal with financial abuse.
Under the Privacy Act, we can only record extra care for our vulnerable customers if we have their consent. Consent is often provided, but actually in a situation of a move to elder abuse, it may be that the customer doesn't have the capacity to provide us that consent at that point. But we, for a protection for a customer, we would like to flag that. And that ecosystem is very different to what we have for fraud and scams, where we're actually flagging transactions or flagging accounts as high risk.
Palestinian medical officials say 29 people have been killed by an Israeli airstrike in southern Gaza. They claim mainly women and children were killed in the attack in Abasan, east of Gaza's second largest city, Khan Yunis. Mohamed Al-Asali was an eyewitness to the attack. He says the victims were unarmed and seeking internet access.
Suddenly, without prior warning, rockets were fired towards a number of people who were connecting to the internet in an area with good signal. They are not fighters, they did not have weapons, or they were not involved in any resistance operations. They were civilians and mostly children. I was there at the site, and most of the people were killed or critically wounded. None of us had any weapons or anything related to the resistance. It was in Khan Yunis, in Abasan, at the gates of a school used as a shelter.
Meanwhile, in Gaza City, advancing tanks have forced residents to flee. Russia is claiming that it was not behind the fatal attack on Kiev's main children's hospital. Instead, it claims that it was a stray Ukrainian anti-aircraft missile that hit the hospital, killing two people. Russia has not provided any evidence for the claim. The United Nations rejects the claim, saying there is a high likelihood the hospital took a direct hit from a Russian missile. Ukraine's security services say they have unequivocal evidence the Okhmadit Children's Hospital was hit by a Russian KH-101 cruise missile. But Russia's ambassador to the UN, Vasily Nebenzia, claims the fact the hospital was not completely destroyed is proof Russia was not behind the attack.
Indeed, if the Russian missile that was targeted to the military object would hit the hospital, then the hospital would be completely destroyed. I mean, I'm not rejoicing at whatever victims or the wounded were in the hospital at the time of a strike. Moreover, that it was the Ukrainians themselves that did it.
41 people were killed in a series of airstrikes on Ukrainian cities. Back home, 10 organizations representing Australians with disability are condemning the federal government's decision to exclude sex work from the National Disability Insurance Scheme, the NDIS. Sex work paid for by the scheme has been available since a federal court ruling in 2020. But the minister responsible for the scheme, Bill Shorten, has promised to scrap access to sex work paid for by the scheme. He says it doesn't pass the standards of the average Australian. But in a joint statement, the group says such a move would undermine disabled people's right to fully participate in all aspects of life. They say sexual services provide outlets for the disabled to build positive relationships with their bodies as well as self-expression and pleasure. And to sport in football, Spain is the first team to the final, into the final of Euro 2024 after beating France 2-1 in their semi-final match in Munich. 16-year-old Lamine Yamal starred, becoming the youngest player to score at a major tournament. His goal in the 21st minute leveled the game after Randall Kolo Muani had put France in front very early in proceedings. Dani Olmo put Spain in front with a goal in the 25th minute, and there they stayed. Spain will play either England or the Netherlands in the final. Now having a look at the weather around the country. Perth, rain 19. Adelaide, rain developing 18. Melbourne, partly cloudy 15. Hobart, rain easing 13. Canberra, cloudy 13. Wollongong, sunny 19. Sydney, sunny as well and a top of 19. Newcastle, mostly sunny 19. Brisbane, a shower or two, the top of 24. Cairns, mostly sunny 28. Darwin, sunny and 33 degrees. And that is NITV Radio News.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.